Good evening. Welcome back. It's nice to have our visitors, and we're thankful for the opportunity to gather before our King, gather before our Lord, and offer our worship to Him. And again, I'm so thankful and encouraged by your commitment and your devotion to the Lord. And I pray that as we open God's Word this evening, that we will be strengthened and encouraged to be faithful to God. And that's one of our goals. We as a congregation, assembled in the name of Jesus Christ, want to do all that we can to help each other finish the race that we've been called to run. Have you ever seen someone not finish what they started? There's a lot of different examples that we can think about. Some of them are kind of funny. Every year, you know, there's always highlights at the end of the year or sort of bloopers of sports plays. It never fails that at some point you're going to see a few people running for a touchdown and holding the ball out and someone coming from behind them and stripping it away from them. And to me, it never gets old. I always laugh. And every once in a while, you watch a guy who's running and no one's even near him and he just drops the ball. And he does it just a few inches before he reached his goal. And again, I can't help but laugh. That's how I react. It never gets old. And there are a lot of ways we can talk about not finishing what you've started. But there is one area in life that it's not funny. It's tragic that there are people who are in a race and they decide, for whatever reason, that they're not going to finish. And perhaps you know some people who you love and you care for deeply, and for some reason they've stopped running. And you pray for them, you talk to them, and you just reach a point to where you sort of say, what more can I do? And you almost feel at a loss of words. It's very sobering, and it's very sorrowful, and you sort of step back and you say, what happened? How could this person who I knew at some point in life had a deep and abiding faith, but now they will have absolutely nothing to do whatsoever with the Lord? And again, it's disheartening. What happens? And certainly I am not fit to diagnose the spiritual maladies of every person who has stopped serving the Lord faithfully. But I do believe in the text that we've read tonight, Philippians chapter 3, we have a prescription that is given that can help us finish the race that we've been called to finish. A couple weeks ago, we studied Philippians 3, 1 through 11, and we asked the question, where is your confidence? And we warned against the danger of placing one's confidence in the flesh. And here's something I know, that sometimes even religious people who are currently committed to their discipleship sometimes are placing their confidence in the wrong place. And again, this might not be true for everybody, but sometimes when a person has this sort of self-confidence about them and their confidence is in their own righteousness and not in what Jesus has done for them, sometimes you see quite the different picture of them down the road. And so Paul warns about the danger of putting your confidence in the flesh. And he tells them, you need to put your confidence in Jesus. And in your knowledge of Him, you need to place your confidence in the righteousness that God has called you to. The righteousness which comes to us and is attained through faith in Him. And though there are things in which we're going to be tempted to put our confidence in, but understand that your flesh and your heart will fail, but God can be your portion forever. And as Paul reflected upon the sort of areas of false confidence, he said what he had once put his pride in, he was going to now count as garbage because it was worthless in comparison to the value of knowing and sharing in the person of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to further consider Paul's example this evening. And as we do this, understand what we are looking at is really a prescription for finishing the race that God has called us to run. So we'll read Philippians 3, 12 through 16 once again. And we are actually going to be studying to the end of this chapter. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard by which we have attained. Last time, we talked about how Paul let go of certain things. Paul let go of what his fellow countrymen would have told him to hold on to. His rank. His status. What all of his friends and countrymen would have valued, Paul learned that he had to let go of it. And as he let go of those things that others would have counted as gain, he was following in the example of Jesus Christ. Because it was Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, who let go of certain privileges that he had as a son of God. And so Paul had looked to Jesus and seen the example that Jesus gave in letting go of the form of God and embracing the form of a bondservant. So Paul, in like manner, let go of his pride, let go of all these things that others were holding on to. And then he began to reach. He began to reach for something else, for something greater. You know, think about Paul just for a little bit. Paul had let go of a lot in order to achieve the righteousness which is made possible on the basis of faith. But as Paul reflected on what he had given up, he recognized that no matter how much he sacrificed, it was never as much of what Jesus had let go of. You know, Paul had let go of his heritage, you know, being of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised for the eighth day. And again, that was impressive to people at that time. But Paul had not left a throne of glory. Paul had been obedient in many ways. But Paul had not been, like Jesus, obedient to the point of death. Paul had been mindful of the needs of his brethren. But Paul had not, like Jesus, given everything that was needed in order to make one right before God. In fact, Paul was unable. He was incapable of showing that same level of love and sacrifice. And so here's what Paul is sort of recognizing here. No matter how much you let go, no matter how much you sacrifice, no matter how much you reach to lay hold of what God has called you to lay hold of, you are never going to reach the point, the level of sacrifice, the level of commitment that Jesus had previously shown. And Jesus is our example. And because Paul recognized this, he had this approach to his life. He had the approach of the need to continue pressing on. Pressing on. And so, I haven't let go of enough. I haven't obtained enough compared to Jesus. There's a hymn that we sing from time to time. I traveled down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. Now the burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. And you can recall that song of a person sort of, I guess, in a sense, lamenting to Jesus of all the commitment, of all the dedication that they had shown in the name of Jesus Christ, and how no one has seemed to have given them their fair due or acknowledged all the sacrifice they have done. But in the verses of those songs, Jesus responds. And what you kind of see is, well, okay, you might have traveled down a lonely road, but Jesus went to the cross by himself. And so comparing to Jesus, there's kind of a sense in which, well, while I may have given up a lot, there's really more that I can do. Because Jesus gave us a pattern, and that pattern is so high, it's so perfect, that we have to simply reach towards it. And we're never going to really fully lay hold of it in this life. And there's really a lot of neat word plays in verse 12. Paul says, not that I've already obtained it, or I've already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Right, so let's kind of unpack that statement a little bit. Paul is trying to obtain completion or perfection. He is trying to lay hold of it. So you kind of have Paul's hands in there, right? He's reaching for something. He's trying to grab and hold on to something. But then you have someone else's hands in that verse. The hands of Christ. The hands of Christ are holding on to Paul. And it's sort of like Jesus, he's holding Paul by the cheeks. He's saying, hey, listen, this is what I have for you. This is what I've promised for you. This is what I'm trying to accomplish in your life. So Jesus is laying hold of Paul and saying, I want you to reach for this. And Paul's saying, yes, that's what I'll reach for. And it's really kind of an incredible way of looking at it. Jesus saved us, and he wants us to reach for something. And because Paul was grateful for what the Lord had done for him, Paul's saying, yes, I will reach for it. I will strive. I will press on so that I can obtain what you've grabbed hold of me for. What is it that he had laid hold of him? Well, there's a number of things that we had looked at briefly a couple weeks ago. You know, he was trying to gain Christ in verse 8. He was trying to obtain the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith in verse 9. He was trying to know him and the power of his resurrection in verse 10 and the fellowship of his suffering. And he was trying to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Those are all part of what Jesus laid hold of Paul. Some of those are goals that we are to be reaching for now, and some of those are made possible only by the power of God and will happen to us as we die in faith, as we complete our task. And so you have some things that you're reaching for, and as you reach for those and try to lay hold of them, God will then transform and complete the job once your race is run. But all of this has to do with transforming into the likeness of Christ. You know, I want the righteousness which comes by God. I want to know him. I want to share in his sufferings. I want to know all that God has determined for me to let go of and for me to hold on to. That's God's plan. He wants us to develop his mind. And so, again, this is a question that I've been thinking a lot in some of my lessons, but do I want what God wants for me? This is one of those passages that says, this is what God wants for you. And so Paul is talking about this pursuit, this joyful pursuit of reaching for what Jesus wants for him. And so in verse 13, he says, I haven't laid hold of it yet. I'm not there yet. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to forget what lies behind, and I'm going to continue reaching towards what lies ahead. And so if you want what God wants for you, you have to be willing to do those two things. You have to be willing to forget, and you have to be willing to continuously reach. You know, it's hard to press on if you're looking backwards. You know, one who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back, they're not going to plow a straight line. You know, you can't accomplish your goal if your eyes aren't focused on the goal. You can read a lot of self-help books, and there will be people who are successful in the eyes of men who will tell you how you achieve a goal, and they will talk about the importance of focusing on that goal. And again, it's true. If you're looking in 20 directions, it's going to be hard to accomplish a goal. And so the more that we can focus on that goal, the less likely it is that we will miss out on achieving that goal. And in order to reach that goal, we can't be dwelling on the past. We must be willing to forget what lies behind. Now, that certainly doesn't mean that we don't learn from history, whether it's someone else's history or our own personal histories. But what it does mean is whatever yesterday held, whether it was a success or failure, it's in the past, and now you need to take my now and reach. Think about those who look back on all of their spiritual achievements. Think about it this way. They're dwelling on every good thing they had ever done in the past, and maybe sort of patting themselves on the back for all that they did. Well, here's a problem. If you're patting yourself on the back, you can't reach forward. If you're patting yourself on the back, you can't possibly lay hold of what Christ has laid hold of you because your hands are busy doing something else. And in that sort of circumstance, if you're patting yourself on the back, you are acting as if you've arrived when you're not there yet. You're about to drop the ball, and you haven't crossed the goal line. So here's a person, they've gloated on all the sacrifices they made, perhaps even years before. And what Paul says, if you're going to reach forward, you have to be willing to forget your successes. But you also have to be willing to forget your shortcomings in the way that Paul is talking about. Paul at one time was a violent aggressor of the church. And it would have been easy for Paul to sort of develop this self-defeating view of his life. He could have dwelt sort of in this despair, this self-pity. What's the point? I'm such a miserable failure. God could never do anything with me. And that would be equally as bad as the pride that is celebrating yesterday's victories. If you're dwelling on your past failures, you're not pressing forward. And so whether it's yesterday's good or bad, that does not change your responsibility for what you are doing today. As Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, each day has enough trouble of its own. And we need to think, what am I doing with what I have now? What am I doing with today? And as I do that, that enables me to reach forward towards what lies ahead. And so forget what lies behind, reach forward to what lies ahead. I sort of picture, again, running a race. Imagine a sprinter. And, it's really impressive when you watch a sprinter who, in the Olympics, you have that Jamaican guy, Usain Bolt. And there were times I watched him run, and I've never seen anything like it, in such a short amount of time. Such speed, such power. And I don't know a lot about running fast, but I can picture all the things that sprinters do to sort of maximize their speed. They probably study their form. They probably know things about running that most of us would never have even comprehended. But here's what they do. They study themselves. They work. They do all these stretches. And they're trying to figure out, how can I shave off another tenth of a second? And I imagine they put more hours into thinking about how can I get that next tenth than most of us spend doing whatever it is that we do each day, But here's what they're doing. They're trying to think, how can I stretch across that line? How can I get there quicker? How can I be more efficient at finishing this race? And that's kind of what Paul is doing. Paul is thinking about stretching across the line and giving it his all. And he's constantly evaluating himself. Where am I falling short? What's keeping me from laying hold of what Christ laid hold of me? And whatever it is, you could be assured Paul was going to figure it out, and he was going to stretch across that line. And he describes this goal. In verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he's reaching for this prize. Harper prayed about reaching for our prize this evening. And again, that's what we want to help each other do. That's one of the reasons we come together, is we want to encourage people to keep reaching for the prize, this upward call that that is found in Christ Jesus. And that's kind of the key of this verse. It's what God has for those who are in Christ. And so, do you want to be found in Him? Do you want to be found in Him, not obtaining a righteousness of your own, but the righteousness that is found on the basis of faith in Christ? Do you want to be found with all the spiritual blessings that are found in Christ Jesus? Think about Ephesians chapter 1 and read verses 3 through 14 and look at what all God has in store for those in Christ Jesus. Is that what you're reaching for? Is that what you're trying to lay hold of? Well, stretch, reach, become like Christ. This is the prize. We talked about goals 2 weeks ago. We talked about what we want to accomplish with our lives. This was Paul's goal, to be like Christ. And again, he had shifted his priorities. He had shifted his focus. And this is what we found. A never-ending commitment to what God has laid hold of him for in Christ Jesus. And so study yourself, you know. Every night when you lay down to pray, think about your day. Think about the decisions you made. Think about the attitude that you displayed. If you're like me, there are probably moments of selfishness. There are probably moments of impatience, if not worse. And there is something in your day that deserves your meditation and reflection as you compare yourself to the example of Jesus Christ. Don't think you're done. Don't live with a sense of having arrived. Verse 15 is kind of an interesting verse. He says, "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude." I wonder if Paul thought that there were some brethren at Philippi who had arrived. You know, they are complete. You know, Paul, of course, said in verse 12, you know, I haven't already become perfect. You know, Paul recognized there was still more to do to become like Christ. So I'm going to just suggest that when Paul talks about these perfect or complete ones, that he's being tongue-in-cheek. He's being playful. But let's just say that's you know, or that's me. That I, you know, I've really done pretty well. You know, I'm pretty much already there. There's not much more that I need to do. Let's say that that was our attitude. Well, what Paul says is let's say you feel as though you've arrived. Well, guess what? You still need the attitude that presses on towards the upward call. You need that attitude, and if you don't have that attitude, well, you need to have that attitude. And once you develop that attitude, God will reveal you still have work to do. I think that's kind of a neat way to look at it. You know, you still have growing to do, even if you don't think that you do. You still have a goal to reach forward. Well, let's look at verses 17 through 21. As I mentioned before, Paul's attitude of forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to the upward call of God is sort of a prescription for finishing the race. It's a prescription for finishing the race because Paul knows of too many people who lost sight of the goal. And as they lost sight of the goal, they became enemies of the Lord. 17 to 21. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. And so verse 17, we have this final call to action. And what Paul calls all the brethren to join him in doing is fixating on the pattern. This pattern of letting go of the things that hold you back and reaching forward to grab onto what the Lord has called you to lay hold of. Paul says, join me. Walk according to the pattern. this pattern which was first demonstrated by Jesus Christ in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Join me. And you see, Paul, it's not that he's there, but he's working towards it. He's imitating Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. We pointed out last time that what Paul says in verses 1 through 10 or 1 through 11 is consistent with what Paul said of Jesus in Philippians 2. And so he's saying, look to Jesus as an example that you can follow. Strive for it. Work for it. Be eagerly study yourself. Meditate upon yourself. Compare it to the Word of God to see if it measures up. And what you'll see is the ways in which you can do better. And don't just follow me, but observe those who walk according to the pattern. One of the best things that we as people of God can do is learn to find examples of people who are walking as Christ walked. Do you know anyone who is striving to develop the mind of Christ? Well, if you do, look to them. Look to them as an example. At the end of Philippians 2, Paul talks about Timothy and Epaphroditus. They were examples. Again, read what Paul says about Timothy and what Paul says about Epaphroditus and compare it to what Paul said about Jesus earlier in the chapter. What you will find is that they were obedient to God, even in a sense to the point of death. What you will find is that they selflessly treated others and served others in a manner that treated them as more important than themselves. What you saw in Timothy and Epaphroditus and Paul were people imitating Christ. And so find examples and look to them for how you can live a life that is pursuing the upward call of the prize in Christ Jesus. And why is that so important? Verses 18 and 19. Because many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. And so here's the sober reality. There's a pattern. Jesus walked by it. Timothy and Epaphroditus and Paul, they're trying to walk by it. Paul's saying you need to walk by it as well. Because there are many who lost sight of that pattern, who put their confidence in their flesh, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, instead of putting their confidence in what God has done. And so he sort of ask this question: who's calling the shots in your life? Is it the Lord, or is it your belly? Is it your appetite? Is it your gut? Who's calling the shots? The further you drift from the attitude of Christ, the more opposed to God your life will be. And Paul speaks about people who will start, but then give up. Give up because they listen to their flesh. Are you pressing on to the upward call? Are you walking according to the pattern? It is an important pattern to follow. Because if you fail to walk according to this pattern, you become ultimately an enemy of the cross of Christ. That's where that way of life leads. So Paul now weeps. He weeps for brethren. He weeps for loved ones who have become enemies. And how did they get there? Their confidence was in the wrong place. Paul says our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we belong. You know, maybe in your school you might wear certain colors. High school, you know, this is our school's colors. So this is where we're from. And, you know, you can put pride in you know, reflecting, you know, your school at a sporting event or something, you know. This is my town. You know, there are some people who will take great pride in where they're from. And you know, if you insult where they're from, they'll tell you all the reasons why you should like it. You should respect where they're from. Well, where are we from? Where is our country? Where is our home? Our home is heaven. And we want to reflect that home and follow the example of Jesus. As Paul speaks in verse 21, he says he will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. What we basically read at the end of this great chapter is this. If you follow the example of Jesus in your life, you will follow the example of Jesus in death. If you follow the example of Jesus in life, you will follow the example of Jesus in death. Jesus walked in obedience to God and obedience to the point of death. Jesus elevated the needs and interests of others. And as he did that, God glorified him. If we follow that pattern, the pattern laid or demonstrated to us by Jesus, it is our hope and it is a promise that God has made us that what he did for Jesus is what he will do for us. In conclusion, are you willing to be obedient? Are you willing to give it all that you have? To let go of the things that hold you back in order to lay hold of things that are so much greater. We want to encourage you to don't stop running before you finish the race. Thank you so much for your attention this evening. At this time, if you will, take your songbooks and open them to the song that has been selected. Prepare to meet thy God. And as we join in singing this hymn to you, to one another this night, we want to ask us all to reflect upon our spiritual walk. Have I obeyed the gospel? Have I become a Christian? Well, if I haven't, well, there's something that I need to do. Have I lost sight of the pattern? Did I stop running? Perhaps even years ago, have I just sort of been standing there waiting to miss my opportunity? Well, God wants you to get up and run. And we want to help you run. We want to help you finish what God has called you to finish as you help us. If you're subject to the invitation in any way tonight, won't you come to the front?